even as the curve has flattened in New York and we continue to gradually and successfully reopen our communities, many of us still feel a sense of anxiety. Will there be a second wave? For how long must we wear masks? When will life return to normal? Will life ever return to normal? We are feeling a lot of anxiety, which is normal. And I think it's a different type of anxiety than the kind that we felt during the height of the pandemic. How do we articulate these two different types of anxieties and how do we cope with them? When I read about the story of the spies year after year, I am struck by the following question. Were the spies truly unreasonable in their outlook of not wanting to conquer Eretz Yisrael? According to the Meshech Chachma, they just heard Eldad and Medad prophesizing in last week's Parsha that Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. Then they spy out a land with strong armies, fortified cities, and giants no less. Yes, God provided them with food from heaven and protected them in the desert, but desert life was a miraculous existence with Moshe as their leader. That was not the expectation in Eretz Yisrael. They would not live a miraculous existence in Eretz Yisrael. They would have to fight regular battles without their leader Moshe. And they were understandably very, very anxious. How did Yoshua and Kalev respond to their anxiety? After the Bnei Yisrael proclaimed that they want to pick a leader and return to Egypt, Yoshua and Kalev say, Im chavetz badu Hashem, Vehavio sadu ala aretz hazos, u desana ladu eretz asher hi, zavas chalav udvash, if Hashem wants, then He will bring us to this land, and He will give us this land flowing with milk and honey. They tell the Bnei Yisrael to have no fear, because God will perform miracles for them. The spies and the Bnei Yisrael are anxious that God will not perform miracles for them, because perhaps they are not worthy, or perhaps because Moshe will not be around forever. And Yoshua and Kalev respond that God can always perform miracles. Just like they are living a completely miraculous existence in the desert, so too they can live a miraculous existence in Eretz Yisrael if God wills it. However, earlier Kalev conveys a different response to the spies' report, a subtle but significant difference. Kalev silences the people and says, Alo na'alev yarashnu olsa, ki yacholnu chala. We can ascend and conquer the land because we are able to do so. When Kalev proclaims, Alo na'alev, we can do it, we can enter the land, he doesn't dispute what the spies see in the land, but he sees it through a different lens, a lens of idealism, a lens of emuna, a lens of faith. Indeed, the Eish Kodesh Rav Kolonimus Kalman Shapira, writing from the Warsaw Ghetto, noted that the emuna of the Jew must be lo rak bizman sheroa mavo v'derach Yeshua so, elagam b'sha she'eino roe shum mavo api derach ateva, such that even when you don't see a logical avenue to success, you still believe that God has a plan. Kalev didn't necessarily know how the Bnei Yisrael were going to defeat the nations currently living in Eretz Yisrael, but he had faith in God's promise. This explanation reminds me of the optimism-realism dialectic known as the Stockdale Paradox, named for Vice Admiral James B. Stockdale, a long-term prisoner of war in Vietnam. This theory suggests that surviving adversity means combining both optimism or faith that we will prevail over adversity with a bald, even brutal view of our current reality. We hope for an improved future while being honest where we find ourselves. The man of faith, Kalev, is optimistic despite his recognition of the challenges that surround him, specifically because he has faith. However, Kalev's response conveys more than just faith in God's response, and his response to the spies' report was different than Yoshua and Kalev's joint response. Rav Tamir Granod Ram in Yeshivat HaRetzion writes that the difference between these two responses can be explained with the following story by Rav Nachman of Breslov. And the story is that a king discovered that a Jew in his kingdom was happier than him because the Jew knew always how to cope with any situation. The king tries to make the life of the Jew miserable, but to no avail. The Jew is always happy. Finally, the king makes the Jew a soldier in his army and withholds his salary. So the soldier in need of income is forced to mortgage his sword and exchange it for a piece of wood. When the king finds out, he orders the Jew to use his sword to execute a prisoner condemned to death. The king wants to see how the Jew will react to this situation, because it is a capital crime for a soldier to sell his sword. Instead of simply privately praying to God to save him, the Jew publicly turns to God in front of everyone and exclaims that if the man sentenced to die is truly innocent, then his sword should turn to wood. He then pulls his sword from its sheath, and it is made of wood. The king is impressed with the Jew's creativity and lets the Jew go free. Kalev's response is not simply to pray to God and wait for a miracle. Kalev's response is that we pray and we act alone to Allah, knowing that God has provided us with all the tools we need to accomplish whatever He asks of us. Some studies may refer to Kalev's response as optimism bias. This bias leads us to believe that we are less likely to suffer from misfortune and more likely to attain success than reality would suggest. We believe that we will live longer than the average, that our children will be smarter than the average, and we'll be more successful in life than the average. There are some dangers to this bias. If we underestimate possible dangers or negative outcomes and don't prepare adequately for them, but having this bias may lead us to behave in adaptive ways that put us in a position to lead happier, healthier lives. These studies suggest that positive thinking is hardwired into our brains. But again, as Torah observant Jews, we know that bitachon, or faith, is the key to our optimism, whether it's the Stockdale paradox or the optimism bias. It seems to me that at the height of the pandemic, we face one type of anxiety, and now we face a different type of anxiety. At the height of the pandemic, we knew very little about the virus. We didn't know how to protect ourselves, and the way for us to cope was to act like Yehoshua and Kalev's joint response. We simply put our faith in God and pray to Him for a miracle, because we honestly didn't know much about the virus and how to protect ourselves from it. But now, as we begin to open up and emerge from our homes, some of us more slowly than others, we are full of anxiety as to what decisions we should make and how we should act. How cautious must we be? Can we return to work? Can we begin to be more social? Can we return to shul, inside or outside? All of these decisions are sources of anxiety, and it is normal to be anxious. The response to this type of anxiety is the faith of Kalev, the faith of doing and living in this world and making decisions with the optimism and belief that God is there with us and He has given us all the tools to succeed. There are many coping mechanisms that many of us are trying to adapt to deal with anxiety. Stay informed, but don't obsessively check the news. Focus not on what you cannot control, but on what you can control. Take care of yourself. Lean on others for support. But for men and women of faith, there may not be a better coping mechanism than faith itself. Have a wonderful Erev Shabbos.